Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour. You know, it couldn't be any more of a clearer choice. We're going to be talking about in the extra hour today, rethinking church. And the thinking is the primary word in that. And if it's in the Bible and if it's right, you can think about it all day long. Meditate on the church. Meditate on what God says about the church. And if you missed yesterday, you can go to Original Intent of the Church on the VFN Torch and on your app. And listen, begin to listen. Just dare to ask God questions. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Ask the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Don't be scared of that question. Right. Because if you're doing what's right, God's going to answer you through his word. This is why you're doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if God says, finally, you ask the question, why are you doing what you're doing 15 minutes a week? On Sundays,
right.
You're asking the question and God will answer you. And because the church is not a place to go to, the church is a people that's called out one. We're called out from the world and we're a people and we're a nation, a holy nation of priests and kings. And our King Jesus is over us and we have a mission statement and we have a direct word from the creator of the universe, what we're supposed to do. So make sure you tune in the extra hour to listen to Rethinking the Church segment. And if you are nervous you're thinking, oh my goodness, I can't let anybody in my church hear this, then you need to hear it for yourself and then share it with your church and realize that if that scares you, that's a control issue and you're feeling like you're the one that it's your kingdom and not God's.
Right.
And the way to test that out, have them stop paying you for 6 months and see if you still stay there.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And if you still stay there, I'm serious. Just to test your heart out, you don't know. To say, listen, I want everything that's due me and you should be, there's no reason for you not to be compensated in your pastor in a church if that's what they want to do. But understand this, that you'll be able to check your heart out. And to say, I don't know, just give it to a transient or something for 6 months. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. So if your treasure is God's people, if you're overseeing God's people because you love them, then you're not going to abandon them like a hireling. You're going to stick with them. You're going to do whatever you got to do to be faithful to them. If they stop paying you and you start putting an application somewhere else, then you're a hireling. You know, we're kind of ahead of ourselves on rethinking the church. Hang in there now. We're there. and understand if we've gone so astray from this, we may have to just go to an extreme to put ourselves back in the right kind of mode.
Mm-hmm.
But if in fact, you know, the only reason that you're not in ministry because it doesn't pay well, if the only reason that you are where you are because it does pay, both those motives are wrong. Because the Lord didn't say, if you get paid right, if you get paid anything, go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. You know, he just said, go.
That's right.
And he also said this, you cannot serve both God and money. Mm-hmm. We talked about that yesterday. Whoever controls the economy controls the vision. Well, whoever controls your economy, sir, ma'am, controls the vision. Listen, we got to get this. The economy is never going to get right in America if the church doesn't get our economy right in ourselves. We have to make our bed when it comes to the economy and our finances. Because remember, I was invited once to speak to a group of ministers, and I wasn't, you know, planning on it. And I don't ever seek places to speak. You know, I'm speaking now. I just got to maintain my vocal cords. But the I was there. Brother Kim was there. You know, my spiritual father. He invited me to go speak, and I spoke. I just shared what was on my heart. And I shared kind of about that, didn't I? I shared kind of about, you know, so you find out if they're there for the paycheck or not when they start getting paid. And I thought, and he looks at me and goes, this is good. You need to come back and do it again. And I thought, oh, well, great. He says, and so then later on, I'm at another meeting. I'm finding out somebody was simmering over that statement for a long, long time. And they were simmering because they didn't like that statement. And I had no idea. I was just sharing what God had laid on my heart, you know. And, you know, we all can know in part and prophesy in part, and we all can be wrong. But if it stirred your cookies like that much, you know, try 6 months without a form of receiving revenues from the ministry to just check it out. You know, I don't know, give it to a widow or something in the ones that you're responsible for. Pay somebody's rent. Help somebody's power bill. They're getting so large now, the power. Buy somebody's groceries. And just check your heart out and see, because if we in leadership don't get it right, how is the flock going to get it right? And the reason why that the Catholic Church originally did not want the people to have the word, because it was way back when, was not now, but then, because the leaders were living exorbitant lifestyles. And if the common plowman and the peasants got the word of God, they would find out it's not supposed to be that way.
Right.
And so they kept it from them. And I forget the name of that. They have a whole era about, a name of that era, but it was about living lavish lifestyles of the religious and the famous.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
That was very good.
And lifestyles of the religious and the famous. Join us next week. We'll show you the homes and the pools and the cars and the watches and more ignorance. The but the leadership doesn't get it right. So we got to rethink this. Ultimately, every one of us. I don't care if you're the person who can't even read the Bible because you're struggling in your ability to read, or you're the person who's teaching from the Bible, teaching it, that we're all answer alone before God. Every one of us answer alone before God.
Right.
And so don't think about what other people think about what you're doing. Realize you're going to have to answer to God for what you did. No witnesses, no suspects. You hear me say it all the time, I'm trying to give you a perspective so that when you do stand alone before God, you would have already went to the cross and made things right with God. Because once you're standing at the throne of God, which happens the moment you're no longer standing on earth when you die, you're going to be standing in the presence of God, and it's going to be too late. You cannot at that point, while you're standing before God, go, I'd like Jesus, please forgive me. I mean, it's not going to work, right?
That's right.
You would have had to done it before your appointed time of death comes. So I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'm trying to give you a destiny of eternal life and no regrets when you stand before the throne of God. And it's really not about, I mean, it's such a shallow existence if you think it's about money. It's a very shallow existence. I was talking to some people recently about, you know, Tozer says this. A.W. Tozer says, you know, it's about the blessed. He has a chapter in one of his books. I don't know what the name of his book is the blessedness of possessing nothing.
Right. The pursuit of God.
The pursuit of God. And one of his chapters.
Classic.
Is the blessedness of possessing nothing. I remember a particular man that had nothing. Had nothing in, even what he had was about to be taken from him. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do at all. And so he just sat and waited on God. And people began to say, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something. He says, well, I'm going to wait on God. I'm just going to wait on God. I don't care how long it takes. I don't know. I'm just going to wait on God. Well, you're going to lose everything. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your car. because he's been waiting on, he's been doing it himself prior to that, and it didn't work out. So this time he's going to wait on God. We've all been there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And of course, his wife comes in there and begins to ridicule him, and, you know, we're going to lose this, we're going to lose that, and, you know, all this different kind of stuff. And because she's seeing the consequences of him waiting on God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is a powerful thing to do, by the way, that when you've made all these mistakes and you've realized when God began to do something in my life, what would begun in the spirit, I did it and turned up doing it in the flesh, and I started mm-hmm. doing it myself and kind of left God behind. And so he's waiting. And so, I don't know, after 6 months, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was a long period of time. It was a long period of time. God just gives him a business. Gives him a business. Totally just glorifies his name, God's name, mm-hmm. in his life, because they saw him wait. They saw him willing to lose everything because he wanted to hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ended up being over $1 million in sales on an annual basis.
Mm.
Makes you want to wait on God, don't it?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what happened was, as soon as he waited on God and God blessed him with this,
mm-hmm.
then he tried to keep what he never got in the first place. And then he started talking about, you know, ways to be able, started panicking that he's going to lose his stuff, the stuff that he didn't even have in the first place. Now he's worried about losing his stuff.
Sounds like Jeroboam, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then God required it of him. And took it from him.
Mm.
I mean, he could say, I willingly gave it up. Either way, it's gone.
That's right.
What happened? You know, what happened that all of a sudden, you know, when you started obeying God and it was just you and God, it was the blessed, you weren't even thinking about stuff or things, and you just loved God so much, you wanted to just do whatever he wanted. But all of a sudden, as you're walking in obedience to him, then God started giving you some things, and then it became about keeping the things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of losing things. And it's like, how did your worship move from me to money? Don't you understand you can't worship them both?
Right.
How did all of a sudden you going into all the world and letting people know I love them and preaching the kingdom of God, not salvation, but preaching the kingdom of God, now you're preaching the kingdom of your building and your building program and your board of directors, you know, and all this different stuff. It's like, how did it get that way? And how come you celebrate now that somebody can be in your presence for 6 months and not even know you're the church? And you see that as a positive thing. Well, how did it get to that?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Wouldn't it be better to have everything removed from our lives so we get back to the blessedness of possessing nothing?
Mm.
I mean, the only reason we should be holding on to things, we should do it loosely, is to be able to be faithful to God. If God gives you a Bible, hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just give away your Bible. I mean, there's mm-hmm. things that you know, you need to provide for your family. I mean, you need, don't somebody just take your house, mm-hmm. but then again, don't worship your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God gives you a gathering place, you know, gather in it, but don't worship it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. And we got to begin to rethink, you know, what are we calling church? Because church is not a building. It's people.
Right.
If every time you ride by an address and you point at a building that nobody's in and mm-hmm. you call that building the church, and everybody you see, you say, you need to come to our church, and or you have a pen on your blouse or your shirt that says, I love my church, and you're referring to an organization or a building, I just challenge you that something's wrong with the DNA of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if all of a sudden it was originally about people and you were willing to do anything for people, but now you're throwing people on the furnace of the debt of your building and your building plan and mm-hmm. your organization and your programs, and you're not even thinking about them. And we know this proved positive, and I'm thankful for anybody that's doing whatever you can do for God and helping whatever level. And you got to have orphanages if you don't have parents. So orphanages are very good without having parents. We talked about the institutionalized church yesterday, so we're not going to go there. I'm not saying that's a negative thing. If you don't have a fear of the Lord too, you need fences.
Mm-hmm.
But we have on the Event Torch where you have this large gathering in that context of a building doing a good thing, a very good mm-hmm. thing. And all of a sudden, in the context of that building, with this whole group of believers that are there, it was revealed that there's no relationships. Mm-hmm. They don't even know each other. Because while they were delivering the message, somebody stood up in that crowd and began to yell at the pastor there. You're probably looking at about 2,000, 3,000 people. Mm-hmm. And started coming against what he was preaching.
Right.
And so they ushered that person out. Mm. And everybody's clapping, yay! Well, you understand, they didn't know that person was even there until they stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And we dealt with that problem. And then all of a sudden, another one stood up and started yelling. This is in a building that one would call, and from traditional sense, a church. But the reality was the church is the people that were there, but in the midst of them were wolves, but nobody even knew it. And now on the other side of the church, the group of people, I don't know about the people, all mm-hmm. of a sudden somebody stands up and begins to do the same thing the other one did.
Mm.
And then all the sheep look that way. And they take that one out. And they think, we finally got him. And then another one stood. And another one stood. And another one stood. And another one stood. And another one stood. That is proof positive, church. That Paul said, I warned you day and night that wolves would come in amongst you with tears. I never stopped warning you. And the way that we're doing it, the way that we're fellowshipping, the way that we're gathering, if we don't even know that we're sitting right next to a wolf, they didn't even know. They were right next to somebody who was filled with demonic intentions to do damage to Israel and damage to the church. And they didn't know. And I understand why they didn't know, because that kind of system is not relational. And you can have relationships in a big building, because you can break down into smaller families and give authority to the pastors to be autonomous in the context of their following the Holy Spirit. But understand this. If Al-Qaeda stands up in the midst of your congregation, you don't even know they're there.
Mm.
Something's wrong. And then you think you dealt it all, and it pops up again and pops up again. Mm. Realize that you're responsible for those sheep who you didn't even know. You allowed a methodology that allow wolves to come in amongst them. When Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament under the unction of the Holy Spirit, said, I warned you day and night they would come in, and what we're doing is allowing them to come in. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Religious freedom for all. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
If we get these laws passed through for prayer in school and the ability to wear crosses and whatsoever to school, what happens when we have the Satanists and we have the Wicca and have this same access now because we pushed it through and made it legal for that?
Well, the fact of the matter is that the First Amendment's free speech, free exercise clause applies to all freedom of speech other than obscenity and pornography, and it applies to all religious expression. So we call it the parade of horribles. You allow the Bible Club to meet, and then what about the Sons of Satan meeting? They already are meeting. They have the right to meet. All the gospel needs is access to the marketplace. That's all we're trying to do. We're not trying to give it superior access. The Holy Spirit will deal with the individual people that hear the message of the cross, that hear the message of the gospel. What we want to do is make sure that there's an even playing field.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering. The words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your. And I can understand, maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com. And it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and saying, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And, you know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying, but I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you, And I have a dream.
You know, what's so amazing about abiding is not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh, my goodness. Hears from God. You know, she learns to abide, and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's just, it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord, and how they can spend time with God, and how they can abide, and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago, and as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and now it's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey is being blessed. The Bronx, you know, in New York's being blessed. And so many people are being blessed because she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iabide.org.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day. You know, we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. I want to talk to you about Nazareth. You know, Nazareth is a place where Jesus was from. Obviously, he's born in Bethlehem. And if you want to look up later on, it's, you know, Luke chapter 4, verse 14 through 30 talks about Nazareth. But I remember when they were talking about Jesus, you know, it was coming from Nazareth. They said, well, does anything good come from there, right?
Right.
It was obviously known for not good things coming from there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, you know, although he was born in Bethlehem, he was raised in Nazareth. And so everybody in Nazareth, you know, he had his mother, you know, Joseph, his father. He had, you know, his brothers and the sisters. He had his neighbors and his coworkers and, you know, people that kind of knew him in his life before he stepped up to what was going on. And so he began to minister. And as he began to minister there, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me
because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoner and recovery of sight to the blind and to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the favor of the Lord. Then he rolls up the scroll when he's doing this. He gave it back because he was in the synagogue, which he had a habit of doing and going, to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone, Pat, everyone in that synagogue was just fastened to him. You know, just, mm-hmm. just they were just watching him. And he began saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
Wow.
All began to speak well of him. They were amazed at his gracious words and that came from his lips. They were just amazed by it. But then they began to think, oh, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. When God reveals himself to your heart, don't try to figure it out with your head. But they began to think, and they said, thought to themselves, isn't this Joseph's son?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they began to look at things in the natural. And Jesus said to them, surely you will quote the Proverbs, physician, heal yourself. And you think about it, he says, I tell you the truth. No prophet is accepted in his own hometown.
Yeah.
Well, this is Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And he's saying that no, he didn't say some prophets weren't accepted in their hometown. What did he say? No prophets.
No prophets.
No prophets are accepted. He said, I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. And so the people just begin to get furious with him. And all the people in the synagogue were so furious, and they heard him speak these truths to them. They got up. This is how they responded to Jesus now. This is how they responded to Jesus. They got up. They drove him out of town. No, they didn't put him in a car and drive him to the edge of town. You know what I'm saying? There wasn't a car.
Right.
They actually drove the Son of God. They drove the prophet to the edge of town. They took him to the brow of a hill where the town was built in order to be able to throw him down off the cliff. But of course, he just said, freeze! No, but he just all of a sudden walked right through him, and he went on out of Nazareth and began to minister in the next town.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to encourage you this morning that, you know, everybody has a Nazareth. You know, everybody has a Nazareth, and Jesus had a Nazareth. The first thing he tells you is that nobody, no prophet is accepted. And a prophet is this, you know, people, when they hear prophet, they think office of prophet. But, you know, you think about a prophet is somebody that's speaking God's word. You're just speaking what God says, you know, and if you're speaking in faith, what God has written word is saying, you're speaking, you know, prophetically about God. And so, you know, everybody has a Nazareth, and these are people that maybe knew you before you knew the Lord. They knew you during your transition when you were preparing to be able to serve the Lord maybe. These are people maybe that are related to you and people that knew you. I knew him since he was in diapers. Mm-hmm. I knew her since he was in diapers. And it's like,
right.
Yes. You know yeah. what? And then it says, or it's those people that knew you naturally, maybe you worked with them, you know, mm-hmm. especially if they knew you before, you know, you were a believer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus always was a believer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he believed in himself and the Father for the creation of the earth. But with us, you know,
right.
You know, and so you have those people around you that, you know, that are familiar with you. Mm-hmm. We have a teaching that will be coming up on VFN TV, available for VFN TV subscribers, which are free, called The Fatal Price of Familiarity. And it's the people who become familiar that die. Jesus didn't die because they became familiar with him. Right. Jesus did not run out of miracles because they were familiar with him. They're the ones that just didn't get anything from God because they became familiar with him. And so, you know, what you do your Nazareth, it's very important how you relate to it, because so many people die in their Nazareth. They just say, this is my call. I'm going to stay with these relatives. You know, I'm going to stay with these people, my friends from old childhood. I want to give. I want my friends to be saved so bad. I want my my biological family to be saved so bad. I'm going to spend the rest of my 70 years, and I'm going to just keep telling them what they refuse to listen. You know, and he's, and they're being, you know, before you know it, they're just snuffed out. You know, I know Mike Bickle talks about, you know, people last about 5 years. You know, 5 years and they kind of burn out. Well, I believe they burn out because they stay in Nazareth.
Yeah.
Because if you're constantly in the flow of new, fresh winds of God, if you're constantly on the advancing edge of the kingdom of God, when you find people who love this Jesus that you love, you love hearing what they have to say and what God's saying to them. You love to see them grow up in God. But if you hang around Nazareth, I don't blame you for being sad. I don't blame you for thinking, you know, what is this? And so I want to encourage you, first of all, you know, that that Jesus presented the gospel. You know, he presented the good news to the Nazarenes, and he gave them a chance. He didn't, you know, he didn't not just because they were familiar, don't tell them the truth. He told them the truth, but they rejected the truth. Now, he did not change his message, and this is what people do. People that stay in Nazareth, they start thinking about, you know, people that are familiar with them. People, they start thinking, I just need to make these people happy. If I just, you know, quit preaching about the blood, if I quit preaching about, you know, sin, you know, if I just give them what they want, then they'll just start coming to church. It's like, really? You really want them to come?
Right.
You want them to come to a gathering of they're not even a part of? You know, because how can you actually go to what, you know, if you're not a, you can, you know, the thing about the church is you don't go to it. You are the church. Right. And so nobody can tell you, hey, you can join the church. But they can recognize that you are the church, that you are part of the building material of God. You're building right. the holy temple of God. And they can just recognize what, that you are a believer, you know, which it's a whole nother, probably just rocked your world when I said that. But but all we can do is recognize that you are, you know, God's presence is with you, you know, and you don't join a church. You are the church, and the church kind of gathers together. And so understanding that you deliver the message. And if the audience does not receive it, if your Nazareth audience or anybody else, but you're talking about Nazareth right now, you know, no prophets accepted in his own hometown, don't change your message. Change your audience. What Jesus did immediately, he delivered the very same message. They got nothing from God because their hearts were doubtful. Jesus did very little ministry there in regards to miracles and healings and raising the, I mean, it didn't happen there. It wasn't because he wasn't any less Jesus. They just did not have faith that he was Jesus. Therefore, they got what they believed for, nothing.
Right.
Think about it. So many people are in, they're Nazareth people, they're Nazarenes, and they're looking at, you know, somebody and doubting their ministry, and they say, look, I'm still sick. And it's like, yeah. You know, and I'm not saying that every situation, but I'm just saying that that's what happened there. And he wasn't any less Jesus because the same thing that happened in other cities didn't happen there. It was their familiarity, their fatal price of familiarity with him. And so I want to encourage you that, you know, witness to your loved ones, witness the love of God, live a life as an example before them, but go on, continue to move on to other audiences and don't change your message. The simplicity of the gospel is there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the cross of Jesus. He wants to save. And there's people that want him. There is a people that if you'll tell them what God has done for you, if you'll tell them how much Jesus loves them, that he'll forgive them, if you will pour your heart out to them, they want Jesus. They will want this Jesus whom you love. And those in Nazareth who was actually rejecting him at the time, which some of them was his brothers, I mean, even his mother and brother thought he lost his mind.
Right.
Remember when they came to the house and they're trying to rescue Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what are you Nazarites doing here? No, oh, not Nazarites, but Nazarenes doing here. And so with that, but later on, because he went on, this is the best thing for your present thing is going to be your next thing. So go to the next town, preach the same message, you know, and watch and let God do what he does. And these people who are your Nazareth will find out it's actually them not getting, because of their familiarity, what God wanted to give them. And maybe like Jesus' brothers, they came up and they joined him. Mary joined him eventually. You see what I'm saying? And so I just want to encourage you that don't die in your Nazareth. You know, don't sit there and think, I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to convince these people. Like, how can you do that? They have to make a decision. It's not that complicated.
Right.
It's either yes or no, you know, and then just live a life before them. But go outside those walls. Go outside your natural family. Go outside your coworkers who maybe you've witnessed to and they're not, and you've been frustrated about it, and your family's so tired of hearing you talk about those people who said no to Jesus. Like, come on. Go to the, don't switch your message now. Switch your audience and go to the next town. So I want to encourage you that even Jesus had a Nazareth. He was from Nazareth. And how he handled it, he delivered the very same message he delivered everywhere else, where others were raised from the dead and healed and delivered and set free and became followers, his followers. He just moved on to the next town. They wanted him to stay even in those towns. And he said, listen, I must be about the Father's business. And the Father's business is going to the next ones and letting them know that God loves them and God's got his plan for life.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
Someone once observed that if you don't teach your kids about values, the culture will. I'm John Fuller with Focus on the Family. You want your kids to embrace your beliefs and values, of course, but when is a good time to talk with them about really sensitive topics? Here's Dana Gresh.
And it's so important that you begin when your children are young, when they're 8, 9, and 10, and 11 years old, to talk about God's design of marriage and sex and love. If you miss that, the world will be developing their value system. Start young when it is terrifying for you to talk about those things. I meet with parents all the time who their 8th grade child is in a quote-unquote dating relationship, and they're absolutely terrified. And I say to them, well, when did you tell them what your expectations were? And their answer is often, well, we haven't talked about it yet. They're too young. Well, obviously they're not.
You'll hear more parenting insights from Dana Gresh today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go. I want to share this morning, you know, we have the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Great Commission. Help me out here. Help me out here.
Yes, yes.
And this is the charge that the Lord's given us. This is the charge that the Lord's given us. And he says in Matthew 28:18-20, this is the Great Commission. This is our charge, our duty as believers. And as Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age.
Mm.
And this is Jesus' last words.
Right.
And you know, for us right now, it has and always will be about Jesus and his kingdom. It's about advancing the kingdom on the face of the earth, the king and his kingdom. And it's interesting that Jesus says right from the beginning, I am in charge here, okay? Mm-hmm. All authority has been given to me. Let me tell you something. God is still on the throne, okay? And Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. I am in charge. Therefore, as a result of this, my disciples, my church, go ahead and go. Go. And he says, make disciples. You know, it's interesting that he says make disciples, because sometimes, you know, the church at large sometimes has gotten caught up in sometimes just converts, someone that just prays a prayer. But God said, go make disciples. Trained ones, learned ones, followers. Then he says to baptize them and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And there's a process. I mean, God wants us to think about it. We have the greatest message in the world. And the last thing he says, listen, don't forget this.
Right.
I'm with you and I'm for you.
Right.
And we have the greatest message in the world. I mean, we have an awesome and amazing job to do for our great King. And it's a labor of love. It's a labor of great importance. It's always timely. Listen, we don't know when Jesus is going to come back. Right. Bible says in a twinkling of an eye. But as long as we still have breath, as long as we're still alive, as still as we're able to praise the Lord, mm-hmm. then we need to be about the Father's business.
That's right.
I mean, you look at everything that's going on in the nation, and the nation's in transition, and you have, you know, people affected by storms. You have people affected by financial storms. You have people that are losing their homes. You know, the only source of true encouragement, the only source of true life in this life and the life to come is having a personal relationship with the Lord.
That's
right. Why is this so important? Because you know what? At the end of the day, nothing else matters.
That's right. Nothing else.
I mean, we need a relationship with God, and He desires a relationship with us. And so He's equipped us for this charge. He's not left us alone, but He's equipped us. He's prepared us. And he tells us in His word, in John 14, He tells us, listen, John 14, 15 says, if you love Me, you will obey Me, obey what I command. And I will ask that the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, and He lives with you and will be in you. I mean, He's given us the precious Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth.
Mm.
In verse 25, it says, all this I have spoken to you while still with you. But the counselor, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, right? Whom mm-hmm. the Father will send in My name will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. We have help. We have a partner.
That's right.
Right? We have help in sharing and preaching the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's the Holy Spirit. He'll lead us in truth. He'll guide us in truth. He will equip us with everything that we need to make Jesus known.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to say, you know, unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will, what? Convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness and judgment, and in regard to sin, because men do not believe in Me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see Me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all truth. It's time. I mean, this is the church's finest hour.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many people right now that are hungry for God. You know, when we did that outreach, it was so refreshing. Mm-hmm. We did her outreach in last weekend for Hurricane Sandy and relief. And we're out there ministering. And just, you could see in the people's eyes. You can hear it in their voices. You could hear it in their demeanor. Let me tell you, people are searching for God these days like never before. Everything that they've put their trust in, their jobs, their relationships, their own selves, what man can do in their own strength, mm-hmm. has all come down. And they're saying, listen, God, I need to turn my heart back to You.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only way. You know, Jesus tells the disciples, and I love this in Mark 16:20. He says, listen, this is what happens with the disciples. The disciples went out and they preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word with signs that accompanied it. I'm going to read that again. They preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word by the signs that accompanied it.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. God will be with us. God, the same way God was with the disciples and He confirmed His word with signs and wonders, let me tell you something. He is going to be with you.
That's right.
You know, oftentimes, you know, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but oftentimes I think that sometimes people say, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to share? You know, mm-hmm. or, you know, it's like, I've never done this before. Yeah, you can. You can't. Can you remember the first time you shared the gospel with someone?
Yeah.
Let's not talk about
that. Yeah, let's move on.
Was that with Chris? Was that how did that go? How?
Wasn't real smooth, I don't think.
Well, Chris, you made it. You made it.
Somehow
you
made it in, despite me.
It was a seed. It was still a seed.
It
was still a seed.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, sometimes we get so full of zeal.
Yeah.
You're like, I know what the problem is, you know, and it's like,
yeah,
it's the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's the love of God. I remember when I did an intern, I was a chaplain intern in Louisiana Medical Center in Shreveport, Louisiana. And as a chaplain, I had the great opportunity. I actually lived in the hospital, guys. I lived right underneath the psychiatric ward.
Mm.
And I, like 24 hours, 7 days, that's where I was. And so it was kind of an intense type of setting, because anytime someone was coded or when they would call the doctors in,
mm-hmm.
then I would go down with them.
Right.
And so I had complete access to the emergency room, all those different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the chance throughout the day, my job, which I loved, was just to go up and down and visit with patients, mm-hmm. minister to them.
Mm-hmm.
In the state of Louisiana, they encourage the chaplains to actually pray for the patients.
Wow.
That's what they exactly want you to do, because get this. Their research says that patients do this whole lot better in surgery once they've received prayer.
Oh, wow. Check that out.
You think? You think? I think there's something to that. So after I would pray, I would actually notate that in their records,
mm-hmm.
in their medical records. I'd notate that prayed with Mrs. Jones.
Oh, wow.
Spent time, you know, she seemed to be in great spirits after we left. Stuff like that.
How cool is that?
Yeah, very, very cool.
Wow.
And I've had to sit next to many, many people's, you know, sick bed and deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's so sobering when someone sits with you one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
you know, and away from a crowd and away from everything else. It's amazing when someone's one-on-one, and the other kind of a different situation is when they've experienced some sort of a loss,
mm-hmm.
whatever that may be, when they're not in their normal state. It's amazing how sobering life circumstances can be, how sickness could be, or death of a loved one, or a bad situation. It's amazing how sobering and how our lens begins to get proper perspective, and people begin to start thinking about the things that really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like it to be in the hospital to really start thinking about, okay, how much longer do I have? And
right.
and where am I going to go? And
mm-hmm.
it would never fail. It would never fail. Every single time that I would just speak and just share and just minister,
mm-hmm.
and just share on the love of God,
right.
His hearts would melt. And even you would think the most hardened person, oh no, that I maybe not, oh no.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that when you get down to the truth of it, I believe that everyone wants God, they just don't know it yet.
Right, exactly.
You know, even those that maybe just seem to, let me tell you something. If we don't go out, it's just like Jesus sent his, the miracles are out in the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
The miracles are out in the highways and the byways and the streets and our neighbors. Mm-hmm. That's where the miracle is at.
Right.
And to much is given, much is required. You know, and it's almost like, you know, the church at large has been hearing this gospel message. They've been hearing others like myself and so many of others and Greg and, you know, countless others sharing mm-hmm. about being in the harvest, and it almost seems to just kind of go over, just seems kind of wax over.
Right.
And it's like, certainly they're not talking to me.
Right.
They're talking to the angels or something.
Yeah, right.
I'm in the music ministry, or I'm in this
yeah.
ministry.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, I mean, we got to go back to where is our heart of passion and our love of compassion for God? There's nothing like intimacy. Lord has just been speaking so much to me about just intimacy and spending time with him and more, and really understanding the heartbeat of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get close to somebody, they begin to share with you the deepest concerns,
mm-hmm.
maybe their deepest secrets, maybe the things that really right. matter. You don't go up to a stranger and say, hey, let me tell you what's going on with my kids. They're, you know.
Yeah, right. No.
That marriage situation I'm having, you know, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. But when there's a level of intimacy and closeness and consistency in relationship, people begin to start sharing the things that begin to matter most. And what happens, there's certain sorts of a connection that begins to happen. Mm-hmm. And when we get close to God, when we lay on his chest like John did, when we get mm-hmm. close to his heartbeat, mm-hmm. he begins to share with us his really heart. And you know, I'm challenged, and maybe we're challenged here today to think about oftentimes when we pray, are we just praying for what God can do for me, what God can do for my household, what God can do
right.
for my family? Have we ever paused to think that God has a need?
Right.
Have we ever paused to think that God, the creator, the manager of the universe, God who sits on the throne in Revelation 4 with emerald circle and throne, the sea of glass, the peals of lightning, thunders, the mm. four living creatures, mm. the 24 elders, the living creatures go, holy, holy, holy. God, mm-hmm. who created the world in 7 days, 6 days, and rested in, right. you know, who gave breath to man. Mm-hmm. God that created the universe. I mean, you want a perspective on how amazing God is and how huge he is? Mm-hmm. We just know of a couple galaxies. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, yeah. when you think about the planets and the stars, to think that there are other planets besides Earth, mm-hmm. and there's other galaxies out there, that alone will make you just go, you know?
That's wild.
And I'm sorry, the best theory that man can come up with is this, like, bang? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Bang? No. The hand of God, the majesty of God. But have we ever thought that God himself, the Father, has a need? And I'm talking to BFN radio listeners. I'm talking about, you know, we're talking to the church. Mm-hmm. We're talking to those that love God. We're talking to those that have a relationship with God. You gotta spend time with the one that you love.
That's right.
I mean, how long will that relationship be there? I mean, God doesn't turn our back on us, but our ability to connect and relate with him, when we spend time abiding with God and begin to ask him what is on his heart, you'll be surprised what he tells you.
That's right.
And oftentimes when I pray and ask God that question, oftentimes he'll show me somebody else. You know, God loves you. Mm. I mean, God loves, really, really loves. And that word tends to mess us up because we have all different types of definitions and perceptions and ideas and experiences mm-hmm. and examples of people that said mm-hmm. they love us.
Right.
And I've said this before, you know, you can only love someone to the extent and to the proportion that you know what love is. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if love has been, ugh, take that. Hey, what is your problem? I'm loving you. Take that. This is love.
Right.
I've even heard people say that. In our family, we have a weird way of showing love. Like that. Let's just say weird way. Let's just take the word love out of there and say weird way. Because maybe that wouldn't be love. Right. You know what I'm saying? I've heard people say that before, and they say it jokingly, but mm-hmm. it's that love for God and his love for us that makes all the difference in the world. God loves, he doesn't want, listen, He is so invested in us that he gave his most precious son, his only son, to make reconciliation so that we can be in the right place. Let me tell you something. It's a free gift that's offered. But unless we share the truth, unless we tell them, mm-hmm. how will they know? Mm-hmm. How will they know? And it's the amazing, God, his heart burns for other people. You'll start walking. When you start asking God this question, now what's on your heart? You'll be in the supermarket. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll be in the gas line.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be in a store. Maybe you'll be at work. And that same person, I remember there was a, a situation at work, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, God, not everyone here loves Jesus. You know what I'm saying? There's some spiritual activity going on here. And it's amazing how I was praying about a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Lord said, I want you to look at it with my eyes. I just felt that. Just look at that person with a new perspective. And it's amazing when you look at someone who maybe was sent to be a thorn in your side.
Right.
If you look at them with the perspective of God's eyes, it's amazing how your heart will begin to melt for them.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not looking at some outward stuff that's happening, because you know we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Right.
You can't act someone. You can't expect someone to act saved if they're not saved.
That's right.
It's expectation.
Mm-hmm.
But you start looking at them with the eyes of God, you'll start to have a compassion for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, there's only two final destinations that we're all going to go.
That's right.
There's only two. Either we're going to be with God or we're not. We're going to be in hell, heaven or hell. There is no in between.
Right.
And our you know, what determines that are decisions that we do on this side, not what on the other side.
Right.
And what determines who goes with us is who we share and who we tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I often say this, but how can we have the greatest message in the world, encounter such an amazing God, and remain silent? And remain silent. I'm telling you, I don't want to see him. I don't want to look into his eyes and say, I didn't bring anybody with me.
Right.
And listen, if you went to a football game and you had an extra ticket, I mean, you'd call all night. Do you know how expensive these tickets are?
Mm-hmm.
You got to. If you were going to, you know, a show and a Broadway show or something, and you had a, you know, you would be trying to give away those tickets.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want these baseball, you know, box seats, you know, to go to waste.
Mm-hmm.
But I want someone to have them.
Right.
Well, get someone the greatest seat they could ever have.
That's right.
It's in heaven.
Amen.
You know? In fact, make a couple tickets up. Tell them you have two tickets for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a way that they can redeem those tickets in heaven.
Right.
You know, you have a way for them. Invite people to know God. We got to get past ourselves. We talked about this a couple days ago on VFN Radio about being willing to be vulnerable, be willing to be. Jesus sent the disciples out like lambs amongst wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we want to be able to totally depend upon him and upon his hand and upon the Holy Spirit, which he gives us, that's going to empower us and to lead us into all truth. We have a faithful partner. And when we go, God's going to confirm the signs and wonders. I mean, after we went to that relief and prayed and people invited God in the heart, the next day there was a sign and a wonder. They got power back on.
Amen.
It's like 6 days with no power. And the next day,
wow.
You know, I mean, listen, all kinds of things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things. But you got to step out. But you got to get your ear on the one.
That's right.
And he's such a gentleman. You ever been in a relationship, or sometimes this is true with children, and children are so narcissistic, you know. They just think about themselves, and you see them, and they're always, what are you going to get me? Can I go to the store? What do you want? And, you know, it's always about them.
Mm-hmm.
But it never kind of dawns on them to ask a parent, hey, mom, dad, you know, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how was work? Or, you know, how, dad, I saw you lay up last night. Are you feeling okay? Are you, you know?
Yeah, we'd just fall out, wouldn't we?
No, I'm dying here. I'm dying. Dad's playing again. Look at him on the floor. He's playing again. Are you really sick? You know, you got all kinds of stuff coming out of your pores.
Right.
We don't want to be that way with God.
Mm-mm.
You know, we want to ask him, God, what's on your heart? What is moving you today? And there's so much great need. Let me tell you something. We have the greatest hope, the greatest message. And when we get back, we're going to talk about truth. We're going to talk about what is real truth.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things out there being called truth, but we're going to talk about what is truth. And the power of the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.